Welcome to Conversations at Keston Law. Hi, my name is Joan Keston. I'm the founding attorney at J.A. Keston Law, PLLC. Our firm focuses on the practice of elder law, estate planning, and asset protection. I have here with me today Cindy Clark, who is my office manager, Brandy Cox, who is my paralegal, and Sissy Weisbrook, who is my director of marketing. We started this podcast after we had held some discussions, informal discussions, at senior centers in the area, and felt that there was a lot of valuable conversation and questions and misconceptions. So we started this podcast to address some of the issues that we all face. We may be relaying and getting information from clients, from our friends, from our neighbors, but we're trying to bring to the table things that we hope you're aware of. This is not meant to be a formal lecture. We do have more resources on our website, which is www.kestonlaw.com, and there you have some videos and some more formal type of information. So without further comment, we'll start this podcast today.
Okay, you guys, we have to talk about scams for the elderly. I was up in D.C. recently, and my good friend, her dad, is a Reader Digest player. And he was playing all these, and I don't understand all of it, but all I know is Reader's Digest scam. He used to play these games on Reader's Digest website or something that says it gives them a better opportunity to win the Reader Digest sweepstakes. So he's been playing these. Well, he gets a call that says, from Reader's Digest, says that he won. But he has to give them money. And so give them all this information. So he ended up giving them his social security number, his birth date. They ended up, it was a total scam. They ended up stealing his identity.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. And he lost about $2,500 during all of this. And he's a smart man. He was so embarrassed. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how smart or anything. The scams are really something.
What do you do?
My mom got the Reader's Digest one when my dad was still living, and my dad said, call Joni and talk to her. So my mom calls me, and I said, Mom, this is a scam. Don't do anything. And I said to her, okay, if you don't believe me, because, of course, my mother was just like, no, it couldn't be. I said, call Reader's Digest. She called them up, and they said, yeah, we're so sorry, but we get so targeted that it was a scam and told my mother not to do anything. You'll just say you never get anything for free. Don't do anything requesting information. We have another one. Cindy and I, our mothers got the same one. Cindy, you tell them first.
All right. Well, my mom, who is in the very early stages of dementia, she knows all her kids, knows everything like that. So my sister-in-law and she were sitting at the kitchen table just talking, and the phone rings, and this boy, man, it's like, hey, Mom. You know, like he knew her, and she's going, hi, and they start talking, and he's like, Mom, I'm in, I can't remember what country, it was like a South American country, like a dangerous one, you know. I got pulled over by the police, and I'm in jail, and I need money to get out. And she's like, where are you? Where's Aaron? And she said the name, and he's like, oh, she's here too, and said, well, how about the kids? And everybody's there, and she's, you know, she's like, oh, well, what do you want me to do? And she says, well, we need money to get out of jail. And she starts talking, and my sister-in-law is listening to all of this, so she knows where it's going, but she wanted to see how far my mom would take it. And funnily enough, I don't know if it's just her nature or the dementia or whatever, but she's like, okay, well, you just tell me when things are better. Just give me a call. And so she's not giving the money, but not because she wouldn't have. She just, I think with the dementia, wasn't quite sure what was going
on.
Good
thing.
Which is, you're lucky that that happened. My mom got the same one. Grandma, oh, Daniel, is that you? Again, she has caller ID, but because she heard the voice, she thought it was my son, Daniel. And she goes, where are you, Daniel? I'm in Dominican Republic, and I'm in trouble, and I need money. Well, where's your mom? She's busy. I couldn't find her. Okay, what do you need? Well, then there were specific instructions to go put money on a card at CVS, which my mother then did.
Oh, wow.
Didn't call me, didn't call my sister. She goes and puts it on. Somehow my sister found out, calls me. I called Daniel. I said, of course that's not Daniel. Called Daniel just to make sure. And they, my sister then went to CVS and they undid it, but it was $1,200 that they got my mother to do. And she kept saying, what was Daniel? I know it was Daniel. Well, it wasn't, but they are so good at doing this to people that they get caught. And but the, luckily the guy at CVS said, my sister said he was with her for hours trying to undo this.
That's scary. Like my sister-in-law ended up getting on the phone when she realized, you know, he was starting to get more specific about the money and came out and said, you know, who is this? And he hung up.
Right.
And we were lucky.
We had another one my mom got from Jamaica. This was the Jamaica scam where they call her up every day and get into long conversations. And if someone else answered, they said, I don't want to talk to you. I want Adele. And there's no way to get to them because they're off out of country. Well, we were able to teach my mom, who also has dementia, call answering so she could identify the numbers. And that's the only way we got off of that whole phone call. And the point that they're trying to do is engage her in conversation, get somebody off guard, and then get information that they
can... Or get comfortable with them, right. And like they trust them, yes.
That's very scary because, you know, somebody, especially with dementia, hopefully they wouldn't remember things like their Social Security and stuff like that. But my mother remembers her birthday, you know, because when she says her birthday, she says the year and the date. And stuff, so she does remember that, but I've heard that. I had a friend of mine, and she didn't have dementia or anything. She got pulled with this scam of a grandchild, and she went to CVS and she lost $2,500.
I haven't gotten phone calls, but I get emails sometimes that get through my firewall or whatever it is that protects me from those things that will say that, something about wanting money. You know, I just delete them because I know, but...
One thing, I was at a Department of Justice presentation, and by the way, if you ever get to, and I tell clients this, and you guys and your families, if you ever get to hear any kind of presentation about the scams that are out there, sometimes they're called scam jams, go to them because you really, it's a great learning curve. But one thing they did say, when you carry your Medicaid card, your Medicaid number is your Social Security number.
Right.
So anybody who steals your wallet then has your Social Security number because they know that's what that is. So this woman suggested make a copy, black out the number, and then recopy it. Because if you use the first one with the blackout, they can still read through that. Then make another copy and carry that around. Now, hopefully, you'll remember it's your Social Security number.
Right.
But take that around, and then you won't have your Social Security. And don't carry that card around with you. Because if you get your purse stolen, which, again, my mom used to leave the purse in the, never would have done this before dementia, but in the cart. And, like, that's so easily identifiable to take that purse and then you have all that information.
I'm guilty of that today.
And, you know, these scam jams that you mentioned, a couple of the things that I've, or one of the biggest ones that I can recall hearing about is the situation where an elderly person gets a phone call. The person on the other line says they're so-and-so agent with the IRS and that they owe so much money. If they don't go ahead and make arrangements that day to pay that off, then legal action is going to be taken and law enforcement is going to come out and arrest you. A lot of people hear that. They hear IRS and automatically panic.
I've had that happen to me.
But what you have to keep in mind with the IRS in particular, and again, when you get in that panic mode, you don't think about this, is that the IRS is never going to call you. Mm-mm. Think about if you ever have to call them, how difficult it is to get somebody on the phone. So they're not going to call you. They're going to spend probably thousands of dollars in paperwork before they call you about anything. And again, these folks that get these calls, they're not idiots. You know, they're savvy people who've been able to take care of themselves otherwise. But you hear IRS, you owe money, we're coming to get you, and people panic.
Sure. They're scarier than anything else.
That's the scariest organization in the country is the IRS.
So I guess don't be embarrassed. Just be aware. Think. Don't panic. But don't give information to anybody asking for information.
And if not, like you said before, call the source. Yeah. Hang up and say, if it's real, you know, I'll call you back. And
we
call
Google
the source.
It. We Google the numbers. And when you were talking, Cindy, about online scams, we also got something from our credit union, and I was surprised at first because the logo looked like our credit union logo and stuff, but my husband looked at it and he said, something's not right with this, and they were talking about a deposit or something.
Well, we don't deposit anything physically. Everything is direct deposit, and we do, he does something else with checks that we might get in the mail for whatever. So he called NFCU, and it was a total scam. But if we would have answered that email, they could have gotten into the system. And
it's scary.
It is scary.
It's scary because things look official sometimes, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, wow. And then your immediate is panic because you've heard those words or read those words. So you just, okay. I know it's a scary, scary world. And we mentioned a little bit about caregivers before, and there's great caregivers out there. But, you know, there's cases you read in the newspaper of caregivers that have scammed the people they're caring for. And again, that's where you need people or you know, documents that can protect you to some extent. And unfortunately, our laws make it, it's such a difficult area because oftentimes the elder person is a willing victim. We can't legislate against stupidity. We can't legislate against making bad deals. That's part of the philosophy here. But how far do you go to protect somebody? And where are you overstepping the line? And those are really hard issues that our civil system, our criminal system, can't always handle. So the more proactive you can be in whatever you do to protect a vulnerable person, more vulnerable person, that's what you should do. Whether it's trust that makes it more difficult. And again, it's a specific reason why you might be drafting this, but it's an asset protection. You're protecting somebody. There may be things to do that you would never, might not want to do, but you've got a vulnerable person and you don't want somebody out there subjected to a lot of this unnecessarily. So once again, it goes back to being aware of stuff. Thanks for listening. I welcome you to visit our website, www.kestinlaw.com. On that website, you will find our schedule for seminars. We do seminars almost on a monthly basis in two locations where we formally address a lot of the topics we mentioned in this podcast. You also can follow the directions with this podcast. If you have any topics you'd like us to address in a podcast, feel free to write those and send those to us. And if you have any other questions and would like to have any kind of consultation, again, you can either contact us on the website, and our phone number is 910-509-7121. Once again, thanks for listening.